During the last election in 2016, nearly $6.5 billion was spent on federal elections. $4 billion for Congress, nearly $2.5 billion on the presidential race. This year, we're already hearing the race for Ohio governor will be the most expensive ever. Why are political campaigns so costly?
Well, there are a number of reasons. So one of them is fairly simple, that the cost of everything goes up, you know, every 2 years. One of the first races I did almost 50 years ago, the state rep race in the Lakewood section of Cleveland, where our total budget was $11,000. That same state rep district today, if it was competitive, would be $300,000 that would be spent in that district.
Can a newcomer mount an effective challenge?
Yes, a newcomer can and has, but they have to have a message. They have to have a unique background that gets them attention. And as you know, there are a number of women running around the country and a number of women who've been very successful in their own careers before deciding to run for Congress, and a number of women who've been in the military, and a number of these women have been in combat. And so when you have that kind of story to tell, you immediately get attention because of who you are, and raising the amount of money necessary to be competitive, it doesn't mean you have to raise more than your opponent. You have to be able to be competitive so that you can get your story out.
One of the women who is a newcomer who's running in our area for the 14th Congressional District is Betsy Rader. She's taking on incumbent Dave Joyce. She has raised about as much money, I think, as Dave Joyce. She's kept pace with him, and she's done so with a pledge to not take money from corporate political action committees or PACs. We hear a lot about PACs. What are PACs, super PACs? We hear about dark money and Citizens United. What are all these mechanisms, and how do they influence elections?
Well, basically, it's a vehicle which was created by the Republicans through Citizens United that allows more money to be put in campaigns than an individual just giving the max. So, for instance, if I'm a wealthy donor and I can only give $2,700 to your campaign, I max out to your campaign. However, there's a PAC I can give to, and that PAC I can give unlimited amounts of money. You have to list my name, but if I'm a corporation, I own a corporation, that corporation can give unlimited amounts of money also. It's listed. And the only restraint is that the PAC cannot coordinate with the campaign. When the Republicans started this, the Democrats had to follow suit and created their own PACs too. So this is not just a Republican thing. It's now a Democratic thing. Matter of fact, I have a PAC, which I'll be using this cycle to help women running for Congress against Republican incumbents. And that's the purpose of my PAC. And I do this independently of the campaigns. They have no idea what I'm doing. They don't even know I exist.
What's the difference between a PAC and a super PAC?
Well, it's just a name. I mean, a super PAC usually is referring to a PAC that really raises an awful lot of money. My PAC is a very small PAC. So a super PAC would be ones that spend millions and millions of dollars. There are a lot of corporations that put money into super PACs. There are unions that have their own super PACs as well. And it's usually for large donors. And when I say large donors, I'm talking about people or corporations that spend, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars.
Like the Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers have at the beginning of the cycle, basically guaranteed they were going to spend almost $1 billion in this cycle for various campaigns, whether they're individuals or they're issue campaigns. And they, you know, they have a super PAC.
Well, is it your experience that the candidate with the most money usually ends up winning?
I guess the answer would be yes, but it depends upon what kind of creativity they have in their campaign. I mean, we talked about the women that are running. Well, they probably won't have the most money in the campaigns that they're running, but they have a unique story. So if you're going to run for office, and one of the things I've always asked candidates when I've interviewed them to hire me, why are you running? And if you can't tell me why you're running for office, then, you know, you shouldn't be running.
Jerry Austin, thanks.
Thank you.